we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, man, things are piling up on us fast here at Pass the Salt Ministries. We got a lot going on. Came back from a great weekend. I'm sorry, just really a one-day event down in Louisville, Kentucky, down at the abortion clinic. Like to talk about that a little bit. We got a big event coming up with L.A. Marzullo and Russ Dizdar this weekend here in Ohio. And praise God, it's going to be like 80, 85 degrees. I was worried about it. You know, sometimes here in May in Ohio, you never know what the weather is going to be like. So it looks like we're going to have good weather. And I just want to say it again to those of you out there. If you have not, if you're anyways near this, but you need to get here. Listen, Licking Countyans, anybody within Central Ohio? I grew up here my whole life. Listen to what they told us about the Newark, Ohio Earthworks. I used to go to Newark, Ohio Earthworks and run around and play on them. And they told us it was the Hopewell Indians, that it was a burial ground of the Hopewell Indians. They're still feeding us this line of malarkey today. Well, thanks to researchers and thanks to information that's been uncovered, we now know that those Ohio Earthworks, Newark, Ohio Earthworks, John's trying to get in here now, Jared, I don't know. Those Newark, Ohio Earthworks were not built by the Hopewell Indians. They weren't built by any Indian tribe anywhere. And L.A. Marzullo and Russ Dizdar are going to take us on a journey on Saturday, Sunday morning there at those earthworks. It's going to be amazing. If you really want to know what's going on in the natural and the spiritual world, if you really want to figure out what's happened, it'd be a great event for you to be there. Now, don't try to register online at this point, okay? Just come. If you could, just contact us. Say, hey, I'm going to come. Just contact us because we want to make sure we have food and all that kind of stuff set up for you. I didn't put this on the website, Sarge. Maybe we need to do this. We're going to, when you get at the door, we're going to ask you for a $10 food fee. This wasn't part of it originally, but our event is out in an area where there just isn't a whole lot of food opportunities. There just isn't anything. And so we're going to feed you right on site. And so we're going to try to, if you could give us a $10, we'll try to charge, ask you to donate $10, charge, do whatever you want to. $10 to give you lunch and supper. That's a pretty good deal. We'll bring in some food for you, for us at noon and some food for us at dinner time. Gives a chance to fellowship, get to know each other. All that stuff is going to be done on site. So again, CoachDaveLive.com events. We're going to have that up on our homepage. If you're within a couple hours of this place and you don't come, you're going to really, really miss it. I'm excited today. Listen, my heart's full of all kinds of stuff because we did this raucous event down in Louisville, Kentucky. Most of you know that we went down several guys in the queue. I want to thank OJ. I know OJ's listening every day. God bless you, OJ, for coming. I want to thank Alan for showing up. God bless you, Alan, for coming in. And Michael drove all the way from Savannah, Georgia, was there, and Jim was there, and Robert made his first trip down there, and Tyrell was there, and I just want to salute all you guys for coming. It was a small, hearty group of probably in the neighborhood of 100 of us that were outside, and we raised heaven outside that abortion clinic. Some did get arrested, 11. They were released shortly on Saturday, charged with criminal trespassing. Their legal process will go forward from there. We need to be in prayer that it doesn't go any farther than that because they have violated probably some federal laws in it as well. Pray that they just kind of let it die where it is and the feds don't pick it up and run with it. But I salute all those who did sit down in front of that door. It took great risk to do it. I honor them. A lot of things to talk about because there's great, great battles within the well, listen to me. Are you listening to me? We're so full of stinking pride. I was talking to Jared before he even came on the air. I see you there, John. Be right with you a second, man. Hang on. so full of pride. Everybody wants it done their way. I'm right, you're wrong. You're wrong, I'm right. If he'd have done this, if he'd have done that. And it's always amazing to me, the ones that are always doing the criticisms are the ones sitting in the stands. See these people back here? They're the ones that do all the chiping and griping and moaning and complaining and know how to have done it better, except their hind end isn't even there. I'm so sick of it. You know what you think? I want you to think about this. The scriptures tell us that where there is unity, God will command the blessing. Where there's unity, and you look at the left, they never argue with each other. You never go onto Facebook and see them arguing with each other, ever. Go pick out some lefty and go to his Facebook page and look at his posts and see if lefties are arguing with each other. They're not, because all of their guns are pointed at us. The lefties point their guns at us, and we on Jesus's team, we're in a circular firing squad. We can't wait to shoot other people. It's the whole scam of evangelical Christianity, denominationalism, and I'm right and you're wrong, and we're smarter than you are, and we're more holy than you are, and if you'd only done this, and if you'd only done that, I'm up to here with it. Gah! Go on Facebook and see people criticizing those hundred. We had guys. Frank Campana got in his van with his children. I think there were probably 10 of them in the van. They drove from Cape Canaveral, Cocoa Beach. They drove however many hours, that would be 15 hours probably, to be there, to be out in front of that abortion clinic. We had them coming from all over America, driving in, only to be sniped at by those who are supposed to be on our side. It ought to be the lefties that are mad. No, it's on our own team. My goodness. If I was a coach, I'd clean house. Throw them all out. Start all. I am a coach. If I had that authority, I'd do that. We're going to catch up with it more later on this week. It was a powerful, powerful event, folks. Listen, it was a powerful event. Greater love has no man than this. And he would lay down his life for his friends. Okay? Comes down to that. And I'm going to talk about that probably on Wednesday. As far as I know, we'll have Russ Dizdarian with us tomorrow. Talking a little bit more about what's coming this weekend. But in the meantime, I've been trying for quite a while to get John Robertson on here with us. John is John has got unbelievable Hollywood connections. He worked in Hollywood, Hollyweird. He worked out there with all those pedophiles and demoniacs and God haters and devil worshipers. He worked with all of them. John's now the, I guess I don't know his official title. John does all this scheduling, program director, I guess, for Hagman and Hagman. When you see a guest on Hagman and Hagman, John Robertson is the one who's set up that arrangement for them to be on. He's doing great work behind the scenes at Hagman and Hagman. But I'm going to tell you something. This boy, this dude has got a story to tell in his own right about Hollywood and pedophilia. And is this true? And is this not true? And so he got a hold of me on Friday. He says, Coach, listen. I can do it. I'm in the Eastern time zone. Let's do this thing. I'm ready for it. And so John Robertson is joining us from the famous studios of Hagman and Hagman, no less. And John, I'm going to try to pull a Doug Hagman and just kind of softball it to you and let you just start off and just run with it, brother, and tell us that this stuff really is real, Doug.
Well, John, Coach, thank you. Coach, thank you so much. How's my audio, sir?
Great. It's great.
Perfect. Well, greetings and God's blessings to everybody in the huddle, everybody joining us here this morning on Coach Dave Live, and a special thank you directly from the Hagman studio. And I speak for all of us here at Team Hagman to the warriors, to the frontline, battle-hardened people who actually put some rubber on the road and some boots on the ground in Kentucky this weekend. By the way,
John, if I can stop you right there, because my brain goes 1,000 different directions. Okay,
yeah, I'm popping on about 30, 40 ounces of coffee right now too.
Okay, so you know what it's like. I want to set you up with with Rusty Lee Thomas, the director of Operation Save America, who put that thing together this weekend. And with us, he was one of the 11 that were arrested. He has an unbelievable story to tell, brother. And I think file that away, and I just said it so I don't forget it. Okay,
you bet.
Okay, John.
So Rusty Lee Thomas, and we'll talk about perhaps running him here sometime in June.
Yeah, that'd be great. Perfect. That'd be great. Okay.
Excellent. Thank you for that, Coach. So let's talk a little bit. What I'd like to do today, Coach, is I'm going to try to blend a little bit of the story of Hollywood, probably some of which most of your viewers and listeners have heard if they're you know, if they listen to the Hagman Report or Caravan to Midnight or Josh Tolley Show, what have you. I've been blessed to do most of the platforms at this point, at least once. But I also want to infuse into that this journey that over the past 4 years led literally from the stages of Warner Brothers to sitting literally sitting here at Doug Hagman's desk this morning to do this, to spend some time with you folks here on Coach Dave Live. So first, I want to reiterate to your viewers and to your listeners, Coach, what I instructed all of the folks at Pastor Paul Bagley's Awaken to the Shaken conference just a little over a week ago in Chicago. It's imperative that the Christian church in America understand that Hollywood is very dangerous because it's very subtle. And it's not an entertainment construct that devolved into a satanic agenda. It has always been designed as a satanic agenda. Okay, so we really need to start there. That's our start point. That's where we jump off for what we're going
to
do.
John, your bona fides, though, or your gravitas, as they always love to say, is you were there, man. You were in the middle of it. When you say Warner Brothers, you were there, brother. You were swimming with those fish. So you're not just coming some reporter on the outside of what he sees in there. You were in the middle of it.
No, in fact, yeah, thank you for that, Coach. Let me do a quick 30-second intro. So, folks, if anything, I'm not a reporter. And technically, Coach, I am the program director. I also produce the Hagman and Hagman Report. And essentially what that means is, yes, I'm the program director. What you experience each month on Hagman and Hagman Report essentially comes out of the research that we do, Doug's mind, my own, and then we bring it together on the calendar, and that's how we create the shows. And that would be, you know, 90%+ of the content. So in that sense, I am the program director. However, I also produce the show, meaning that I have an enormous amount of administrative duties. I'm part and party to the vision for where we're taking the show over the rest of 2017. I will be on the Hagman and Hagman Report tomorrow in the first hour, folks. That's 7:00 Eastern. Just type in Hagman, two N's on Hagman, HagmanReport.com. But we'll talk a little bit tomorrow in the bottom half of the first hour about where we're taking the show for the rest of 2017. I've been here in studio now for about a week and a half. I met with Doug and Joe in Chicago at the conference. It was my third time actually spending time with them face to face, the first being 2014 at Whitestone, where I met you, Coach, and then the second being last year where we all spoke at Hear the Watchman in Dallas. So quickly, I started out in Hollywood in the year 2000, in January of 2000 to be exact. Moved up fairly quickly. I started in the set decoration department. I was a set dresser. It's a hard job. It's a modest job. I then moved up to being in charge of continuity with the sets when the actual cameras are up, working directly with the director and the director of photography for continuity and to make sure that everything cuts together in post-production. That being said, some productions that I worked on that your listeners will recognize right away. I worked for Spielberg on Catch Me If You Can. I worked for J.J. Abrams for 4 years on all 5 seasons of the ABC network show Alias from 2002 to 2005. I worked for Jerry Bruckheimer on the first Pirates of the Caribbean, The Black Pearl for Disney. I also did some time on National Treasure. I've worked for Joel Silver and many others. So within my given job description, be it as an on-set dresser, doing special effects, doing props. I even served in some respects as an armorer before that licensure changed about 10 years ago. So I worked with firearms, et cetera. I worked at the top of that. Within my specific job delineation, I was at the top of the game, you could say. Now, you mentioned a moment ago, Coach, that Hollywood is infested with ne'er-do-wells, let's put it that way. But I do want to be clear about this. And this is the kind of perspective I would hope to bring to all of these platforms when I do join you folks, is I want to really be clear. Most of the people who are the rank and file in Hollywood are just as deceived and confused as everybody else. Most of them are not unlike everybody on this program this morning. They're rank and file, they're ham and eggers, they're basically trying to take care of their families and figure out how to have some kind of life while also working between 60 and 70 hours a week for 9 to 10 months a year. So what we must understand is Hollywood is a very closed circuit job environment, much like the military. It's closed circuit. It's very politically correct. It's very duplicitous in the sense that we are trained to behave in one manner on set, whereas on that same set, we're fashioning content that we blast out to the world that's totally antithetical to the training we just received. I kid you not, Coach. Pretty Little Liars, 2012. I'm sitting on stage 8 at Warner Brothers, and we're being trained in sexual harassment. As you can imagine, that was an exciting hour and a half. Let me tell you, about trying to keep your eyelids propped open. But we're being trained on sexual harassment. We went back that same day to stage 7 and shot a little teeny bopper lesbian love scene that was pretty, you're shooting something racy when all the drivers are there, the construction department's there. It's like, you know, you've got 45 people on set, you look around and there's 108, you know, then often they will close the set for that. But in this particular case, they didn't. So that's what it's like, folks. It's not, I want to be clear. We don't wake up in the morning and get in some druidic, you know, ritual and rite coven type circle. I mean, it's not like that at the working level. But in the upper echelons of how Hollywood functions, it very much is. And most of that, Coach, was brought through the generations as the film production in its infancy moved from east to west, from New York City to Los Angeles in the early part of the 20th century. Much of what is used in Hollywood today that would be considered Luciferian in nature really comes from a lot of the druidic incantations, the druidic witchcraft, the worship of Gaia, of Earth, in 9th and 10th century England. And prior to that, you can trace that through Kabbalistic witchcraft, Jewish mysticism, all the way back really to what was going on in Babylon. So I want people to understand that there's a distinct through line from the time that the Babylonians were sacrificing kids to Moloch in the temple at the top of the Tower of Babel, at the top of that construct, from the time that they attempted to slap God right in the face with that stuff to Hollywood today. You could do an exhaustive study and find a distinct through line in the practice of witchcraft. Now, to illustrate it quickly, I'll just mention for 2-3 minutes how Hollywood got its name. So most people believe that Hollywood got its name based on the sign. It used to say Hollywood Land up until, I think, the early 60s. Then they chopped the land part off. And then in the 70s, it fell into dilapidation, but now it's been restored, et cetera. It's a landmark.
The big sign you see, it says Hollywood up on the hill.
Yeah, yeah. And it's iconic. It's like the Statue of Liberty. You look out windows, you see it all the time. So that's not true. The way Hollywood got its name, you have to go back to, we have to do a little, what we call smash cuts in the business. So we're going to jump from two stories quickly. 10th century druidic occult worship of Gaia in what would become the modern United Kingdom, as well as around 1905, 1910 in the Lower East Side of New York City. So here's what happened. It's 1905. It's an intersection. It's a clash of technology and culture. We're still very much living in the age of the horse-drawn carriage and steam, sort of the end of the Industrial Revolution, but we're also right at the beginning of the age of electricity. Okay, so it's a very dynamic time in culture. Again, 1905, 1910, you have the Edison Company in New Jersey, you have Eastman Kodak, you have Marconi doing all of his experiments in sound and wireless radio, you have Tesla doing all these amazing experiments, and that's a whole story unto itself. You know, Tesla admitted in his writings that he would often lay in repose from 2 to 3 o'clock in the afternoon, where he was visited by an angel of light, and this angel would inform him of new technologies. So here we are in 1905. Okay, it's this dangerous time in industry. America's growing exponentially, but a lot of men are going to work in the morning and they're not coming home at night. The rate of fatality was huge in industry in New York City. So what we've got, folks, is a lot of young, tough Jewish kids living in the Lower East Side of Manhattan who are growing up in really a maternal Jewish tradition. Now, understand, without going too far on a rabbit trail here, that Kabbalah and Jewish mysticism, and to a degree numerology, is taught traditionally in Jewish families by the grandmothers and the mothers. Okay, so we have all of these young kids, 12 years old, 13, 14, 15, 16, they lose their dad, they're thrust into the role of primary provider for the family, and they've been trained in to a degree in an understanding, a better than cursory understanding, an applicable understanding of the ancient druidic practice of witchcraft going all the way back to places like Stonehenge in the 9th and 10th century. Now, we need to talk quickly about how the druids went about the worship of Gaia. What were they doing back then? Okay, they would come together in a coven and they would do their incantations, their rituals, their rites, okay, all Luciferian in nature, couched in a worship of Gaia, which is a demonic name. There was a very important date on the calendar, that date being December 21st. It's the winter solstice. Why is it important? Because it's the longest, coldest, darkest day of the year at that latitude. So you've got, you know, the trees are skeletal, the land is barren, there's no fruitfulness to the land at all, except one tree, one piece of foliage, the Toyon, T-O-Y-O-N, the Toyon tree is regarded as highly symbolic and significant in Druidic Luciferianism, okay? And as they would come together, they would do what Russ Dizdar has talked about, they would dirty the air. And sometimes photographers can catch the dirtying of the air. Often it'll appear like little orbs. And this is when spirits have been released out of the incantation. It's very important to understand, folks, that a wand, an actual physical wand, was part of this. Now, we trivialize wands today. We look at
Cinderella.
Wands. Yeah, Harry Potter, bippity boppity boop type thing, a Halloween costume, a wand, you know, the magician, all that. However, we must understand that in 9th and 10th century druidic practice, the wand served as a punctuation mark to the incantation. So the waving of the wand is actually what would perpetuate or bring forth the dirtying of the air. And one of the specifics of fashioning a wand back then is it was always made from the Toyon tree. Why the Toyon tree? Because the Toyon tree is the one piece of foliage that remains green in that darkest day of the year, December 21st, winter solstice, one of the eight highly occultic dates on the calendar, right up there with May 1st, etc. So they would fashion the wand, okay? They would cast the spell, wave the wand, and thus the spell is complete. Now, when we go back to 1905, 1910, New York, okay, so the Edison Company comes out, it's a whole other story, I don't have time to go into it, but the Edison Company over the previous 20 years with help from the French came up with this unbelievable concept of bringing three-dimensional life to a two-dimensional plane. Now, folks, everybody here on Coach Dave Live in the Huddle, you got to realize this had never been seen before, okay? So using light, they were able to create three dimensions off of a bed sheet hanging on a wall. It was remarkable. Of course, these were sepia tone. They were silent. What these young entrepreneurial kind of tough Jewish kids did was they opened up, they took vacant Jewish storefronts, the green grocer, the butcher, et cetera. They'd clear them out, hang a sheet. They would rent these 5 and 6 minute shorts from the Edison Company across the river in New Jersey. And they fashioned what's called a Nickelodeon. Now, we must pause for a moment and do a quick search or quick investigation on Nickelodeon. There is a very specific reason this term came into the common parlance. Nickel is in reference to the cost of admission. It was 5 cents. But Odeon is actually Koine Greek for the little g god of the theater. Now, much of our theater tradition goes back to Greek occultic practice. And that Greek occultic practice actually can be traced all the way back through the Sumerians, the Phoenicians, to the Canaanites, to the Babylonians. So understand, folks, we're looking at a through line narrative of witchcraft. So these young kids open up Nickelodeons. There's not much to them, some chairs, a bed sheet, but there's this popping life coming off of a two-dimensional flat plane. People were so mesmerized, Coach, by this appearance that they would often exit the Nickelodeon, fish another nickel out of their pocket, and go right back in. That's how powerful and profound this was. But these young Jewish entrepreneurs had a problem. Eastman Kodak, Thomas Edison, Marconi, and to a lesser degree, Tesla, had monopolistic control over the entire filmmaking process. You couldn't get a camera or a projector purchased in New York City at the time. You had to rent it from the Edison Company. Okay.
Sort of like YouTube and Facebook, huh?
Yeah. I'll have to jump on Coach Dave Live again next week for that one. But very good. But and then you couldn't buy a foot of celluloid nitrate film without doing business with Eastman Kodak. So these guys had the monopolies locked down. These young Jewish entrepreneurs realized in short order they could make a whole lot more money if they were making their own films. The technology was fairly low tech. Remember, folks, we're talking about cranking the film through the aperture to create this. You didn't even need electricity at this time, really, to make film. So these young entrepreneurs wanted control of the whole enchilada. They got on a train with their pockets bulging with all this Nickelodeon cash they'd made over the previous year or two, and they traveled 6 days west to the dusty orange groves of LA. And what they knew, based on the Jewish maternal tradition, the Kabbalistic teaching that they received in the home in New York City, when they got to Hollywood and they began to fashion these early, very rough stages and begin to put some production infrastructure in place. Coach, these young, tough kids knew that they had the most profoundly potent weapon heretofore in the entire history of humanity. Now, I want to back up to the toy and tree. Remember, I explained to everyone here on Coach Dave Live that evergreen tree in England was marked as very symbolic in the occult because it served as the stop point for winter and the start point for spring. It's literally the capitulating symbol into the fruitfulness of Mother Gaia. Okay.
Yeah. Between life and death. Huh?
Yes, sir.
Between life and death.
As above, so below, really. Uh-huh. So it's important now to tip my hand a little bit and inform your listeners and viewers that in America, the Toyin tree is actually the holly tree. So when these young entrepreneurs got out to LA, they knew they had lightning by the tail. They knew that Lucifer, the bringer of light, the quote unquote morning light. Remember, folks, you sit in these palatial theaters, these temples to the little G gods. And what are you really looking at? You're looking at light. Anyway, they knew they had lightning by the tail. They knew, Coach, that they had the most potent, manipulative, mind-changing conditioning apparatus ever created. And much like the Druids of the 9th and 10th century, they knew that in order to bring this incantation manifest, they needed to have the absolute biggest, baddest wand ever created. The wand made from the wood of the Toyin, a wand that would be waved over humanity to confuse, to mesmerize, to entertain, to really serve as a Luciferian conditioning mechanism. They knew they had the biggest wand in their hand ever. And thus they named the town Hollywood.
Now this is the same, John, this is the same holly that we hang around Christmas time.
Indeed it is. Indeed it is. And many of your veteran listeners and viewers, as well as many who join us Monday through Friday, 7 to 10 Eastern on Hagman, know that the entire Christmas landscape is quote unquote Christianized pagan Gaia worship. And of course, Coach, our brother Doc Marquis, Russ Dizdar, Paul McGuire, some others have done some pretty extensive studies on this. So I just wanted to thank you for giving me that mic time, Coach. I wanted to map out, granted anecdotally, but hopefully it was entertaining historically.
So John, it was, by the way, and thank you. You've shown us that Hollywood didn't become demonic. It was demonic from its inception. See, we tend to think that Hollywood started out with Walt Disney and Donald Duck and Daffy Duck and just innocent stuff. And then all of a sudden somebody came in and got control of it. And then they turned it to evil. But no. It was evil from its very inception.
Correct, sir. You know, one of your one of the people in the huddle just posted a text question. Do these spirits jump generations? And actually, Coach, you know what I'll do is I'll defer to you on this biblically. I'll just state what I know from Hollywood. Once someone has made enough money in Hollywood, the absolute pinnacle of intoxication is not cash, it's power. Okay. And that's where pedophilia begins to tie in, because pedophilia, folks, is
it's a power thing, isn't it, John? It's not a sex thing.
That's correct. And I have, I, I'm stating this as a hypothesis, Coach. I want to be careful here, but I have been instructed by some of our brethren that there is a, and I'll defer to you on this, that there is a multi-generational component to the raping and the, and the, and the, well, let's just say the sexual abuse.
Well, John, this is simple. We know this. First of all, statistics show that the average, I got to be careful how I say this as well.
That's why I was going through the same thing just now.
The many people who are trapped into homosexuality were initially molested as young children, right? It was something happened to them at that point that changed the whole direction of their life. And so this becomes generational then.
Yes,
then the one who is molested becomes the molester. Right.
We won't take this any further. I think people can create their own sharp inference here by what Coach and I are implicating, but it's a power exchange. So there's a flipping of the script in there at some given age, and it is a multi-generational thing. And the way that this plays out in Hollywood now, a lot of your listeners and viewers may wonder what happened to Kanye a couple months ago? You know, the guy basically, what I believe we witnessed on that stage that night was a clear fracturing of an SRA, multiple personality.
Kanye West.
Yes, sir. I believe that his programming cracked and he found himself he's one of the biggest stars in the world. He's wealthy. He's at the epicenter of the game. And he finds himself momentarily able to speak without being muzzled because they'd literally have to physically remove him from stage. And it was live streamed. But we've seen this happen before. We saw it happen with Tom Cruise, the whole jumping on the sofa thing, some of his strange behavior. I believe if you look through the course of Robin Williams' life, I would add a man whose much of whose work I admired, Dead Poets Society, Awakenings, etc.
Morgan
Mindy.
Yeah. Genius, you know?
But the guy was also a sort of a manic depressive. He was a cocaine.
Well, John, the word genius comes from genie, right? The same idea that you rub a bottle and a genie comes out. That's where genius comes from. So when we use the term genius, there's almost a demonic association with that as well.
And it's all, you know, interestingly, if you do the word study on that, in Islamic faith and in some of the developing world, they call it a jinn. And that's also where jinn, that's where the word jinx. And it's also where the word genie all come from that same root.
Something there.
And you just sparked something I'd like to say, Coach, and this I'm borrowing this from our brother, Paul McGuire. Folks, if you haven't read Prophecy for the Future of America, 2016-2017, if there are three books that you had to, that I would recommend your folks bang out and do it quickly in the Paul McGuire library, Prophecy for the Future of America, 2016-2017, Babylon Code, and Mass Awakening. You read the three of those books, folks, you're going to be pretty well on track to understanding the lexicon that you hear on Coach Dave Live, the Hagman Report, et cetera. But something Paul taught me a couple of years back is that technology is from the root word technos. And technos, again, going back to the Koine Greek, is their word for witchcraft.
Unbelievable, huh? Unbelievable. Indeed. So John, man, we got 7 hours worth of stuff we're going to try to get covered here in 70 minutes, 60 minutes. Let's go to this one, John, because we hear so much about this.
We'll go wherever you want.
We hear so much about, let's say, Miley Cyrus. We hear about what these once innocent girls in particular, but boys as well, who make it to Hollywood, and all of a sudden they flip. Katy Perry, they flip. Mm-hmm. And, John, this is all associated with this whole power, pedophilia, sex thing, selling your soul to the devil in order to be able to climb up the ladder of Hollywood. You said it was a closed group, and so they lock you in that closed group, and therefore you become even though it looks like you're in control and you're powerful, you really become servant to those who are even more powerful than you.
Absolutely, Coach. You see, what happens here is you've got people who Hollywood is like moths to a flame. Okay. Thousands of people unload into the town a month, and they've more or less all got the same ambition. They've all got the same dream. Nepotism is alive and well in capital letters in Hollywood. And of course we see that, for example, with Miley Cyrus, whose dad,
Billy Ray,
probably one of, in my humble opinion, the worst country Western performers of all time. I couldn't stand the guy. I like good country music, but give me
achy breaky heart.
You know what? You're going to achy breaky my heart. Just give me the Johnny Cash and let's move on. You know.
Amen. But
here's what went down with Miley and with Katy Perry and with many others. I want to add quickly that I have kind of a you know, almost a sadness in my heart over the Katy Perry scene. My dad is one of the pioneers in Christian rock music, contemporary Christian music. He's a big time promoter. He worked the West Coast through the 80s and 90s. He's taken it a little easier now. You know, he's in his mid 60s, but back when he was in his 30s and 40s, I mean, we basically had a huge portion of the West Coast locked up for all of the big acts back when Christian and rock was considered kind of an oxymoron. You'll have to forgive us. We got some phones ringing.
That's all right.
In the studio.
That's right.
Hold on a sec, coach.
That's all right.
That was a live handoff to the man himself, Mr. Doug Hagman.
Oh, but no, he's up there.
Yeah. He got me all set up nice. Okay, so
Katy Perry, Carrie Payne.
Yeah, Katy Perry, I actually witnessed firsthand back in the mid to late 90s. I saw her when she was in her young contemporary Christian pop music career.
Yeah. She wanted to be the new Amy Grant.
Yeah, and quote, when she realized that wasn't going to happen, she sold her soul to the devil, end quote. I've seen her lead praise and worship. Okay, period. I've seen it with my own eyes. I was standing stage left on the day. So to see what happened to her, it raises all kinds of questions that we don't have time to answer today. But I will say this, that I worked for a company that's a subsidiary of Disney called It's a Laugh. I have nothing but good things to say about the people I worked for at that company. In fact, one of the key executive producers is a self-professed Christian. Okay, this is all about deception, folks. It's a Laugh is known in-house as the company that Hannah Montana built. Now, if your listeners and viewers really want to do an interesting study, poke around on the internet and look up what Hannah Montana was really about. You see, the entire plot of Hannah Montana is about a young girl living two lives. And it's actually...
By the way, folks, Hannah Montana was Miley Cyrus. That was her original stage name.
And that's what brought her to pop culture prominence, let's say. So Hannah Montana, the storyline in and of itself, is actually allegorical to what Coach is talking about and to what I'm talking about, which is creating what we call talent, okay? Talent used as a noun, but also implementing total control over that individual. And it generally starts at age 12. And age 12 is a key number in all of this, Coach. I had a friend of mine send me a study about 6 weeks ago after I did the Common Sense Show. And he said, John, I think the reason why 12 is such an important number when we see the transformation, the devolution, if you will, of someone like Miley Cyrus, AKA Hannah Montana, is because in the Jewish tradition, again, folks, remember what I talked about early on in the show here. In the Jewish tradition, the age 12 is where young men and young women go through their bar mitzvah and bat mitzvah. It's the noted age in Torah.
Coming to age.
Exactly. So what they do in a nutshell is when you're working, as I was, for Disney and Disney XD, you see this happen. Okay. You take a little 12-year-old girl. They sometimes start at 11, depending on where she's at in her stages of development. And all of a sudden you've got this young kid, really a tween, I mean, post-adolescent, not even really a teenager yet, tarted up to look 5 to 10 years older than she really is. Yep. They'll literally throw her in like the little Catholic school outfit. And she's on a dark stage. She goes to school, but it's quasi-school. It's not school with peers. It's just a room with a couple other actor kids that are just as messed up. And spends the rest of her day the recipient of just a wash of adoration from adults, people that are 3, 4, 5 times her age. You're so great. You're so wonderful. You're so amazing. They become hooked on that attention very quickly. Mm. Most actors and actresses have a significant level of insecurity, and that insecurity is quote unquote ministered to by all of these accolades and all this false Hollywood adoration. So this is what goes down.
So John, that's why that Hollywood left and the Barbara Streisands and those people are so nuts. So craving of attention, Barbara and Streisand. And they cannot believe that somebody doesn't think like they think, because throughout their whole career, everybody has agreed with them to make them feel special.
Amen and amen. I mean, that goes back to the famous quote that Pauline Kael, the film critic for the New York Times, made when Nixon beat, I guess it would have been McGovern, 60. 72. Nixon's second run. She looked around and famously said, "How did Richard Nixon win? I don't know anybody that voted for him." And it's like, well, lady, if you got yourself out of the New York Times building, or you ever ventured, you know, out of the Upper West Side of Manhattan, you might realize that there's an enormous country outside mm-hmm. your little fishbowl. So yes, Coach, within the epicenters of media, the two primary epicenters in this country, of course, are Manhattan and Hollywood. And there are others that are developing. All of the areas outside Atlanta, Georgia have become very, very prominent, very prolific. Shreveport, Louisiana has been on the board for a while. Then when you go north, you've got Vancouver and Toronto up in the Canadian.
Okay, so John, what does it mean then when Miley Cyrus, we've seen that clip. Well, not necessarily her, but just we saw her say, well, I sold my soul to the devil. We watched that and we laughed, right. But she ain't laughing.
No,
right?
It's not a laughing matter. There is Coach, when I started doing shows a few years back, I started calling it demonic brokerage, but it is literally the selling of one's soul. Now, I did the Kate Daly show last week, and she and I discussed Bob Dylan's interview on 60 Minutes, where he comes forward and he says, the interviewer says, Mr. Dylan, you're in your 70s. Why do you continue to do it? He says, well, it's a deal I made a long time ago. And Ed, what's his name, says, need we ask with whom? And he says, well, it was with the chief commander, you know. Well, actually, chief commander has been a nomenclature used to describe Satan for many generations. I'm not sure if it's biblical or extra biblical, but it's been around a long time. So you got a guy like Dylan, Katy Perry, Miley Cyrus. What happens is more or less this. They crave fame. The money comes first before the sense of power does, typically. And they're more or less willing to do anything to get it. Now, what do we know from scripture? We know that when Satan tempted Jesus, he offered to make him master of everything on the earth.
Right.
So what can mm-hmm. we infer from that? We can infer that Satan has the power to give that quote unquote mastery over the temporal things of this earth. I've always struggled with understanding why God did that, but that's a different show.
Sure.
So what happens is typically at the age of 17, a lot of these people, the Roseanne Barrs, the Katy Perrys, they will enter into a demonic contract. Now, I have received information both firsthand and secondhand that it goes something like this. It operates in both the natural, in the terrestrial, as well as in the supernatural. Okay. I have heard from people who actually engaged with a demon that they could see, that they could talk to. And the demon instructed them how to construct the contract. I'm not going to go into details. I'm going to paint with a broad brush. Often a contract is fashioned. It's typically 2 to 3 paragraphs. It has certain statements in it. You cut open your finger, you sign it with blood. And then in some cases, you actually burn the contract and you release it into the atmosphere via the smoke. Okay.
This is an eternal contract, right, John? You can't just walk away in 5 years and sign a new contract with somebody else. This is
well, put it this way. I mean, I wouldn't sign the contract for all the tea in China, but Coach, I'll bounce this back to you, sir. Let's talk for a quick second, because we don't want to just drag people down the Hollywood demon hole here. Let's talk a little bit about redemption. I mean, my understanding is the power of the Holy Spirit can break those contracts.
Right, right. But it may come as at great cost to the person who broke it, right? The one who came to Christ, it's come at a great price, right? And so a lot of them have to ask themselves if they're able to do that. But John, it even moves. We got about 15 minutes left, so I'm gonna try to hurry this along. These people.
By the way, Coach, I'll be back on the East Coast in about 5 weeks. I'm happy to join you. You know, once I'm on.
Okay,
it's all good.
Okay, great, great. So what happens is these people become programmed. They use Miley Cyrus. They use Hannah Montana,
Katy Perry, Bob Dylan,
to spread the demonic message, right? To spread it. And we don't understand how all that thing is gone. But what's happening is the mind control is happening to the Katy Perrys. It's happening to these little stars who, as they go up, they've lost track totally and completely of who they are. And they're being used by the demonic side.
Britney Spears,
that was the name I was looking for.
You saw, okay, when you used three good examples of the programming, the conditioning, cracking. Now, if you want to know more about SRA, Satanic Ritual Abuse, MK Ultra, and the fracture.
Russ Dizdar tomorrow.
You got to hit Russ Dizdar. He's the go-to for this stuff. Shatterthedarkness.net, I believe.
Net. Yep.
Okay. So what you have, Coach, is you have what I call a satanic Manchurian. this person's a dupe for the devil, okay? But they've been given this platform and this authority, temporary authority, albeit temporary. However, they then apply what I consider one of the most dangerous toxins in the devil's arsenal to the minds of your viewers and listeners. And it is simply this. If I were to say to any of your listeners or viewers, what do you say we pack a lunch and hit the Church of Satan? We'll just go down there for the afternoon and see just what's going on. I would assume, I would hope on Coach Dave Live that I would not get a lot of takers on that. But I could probably talk most of your viewers and listeners into going to a movie. Okay? Mm-hmm. So right. Why is it? So I use the term toxic and poison. Why? Because what Hollywood teaches you in its most benevolent, benign form is to solve human problems with humanist solutions. And Coach, you know as well as I do that when it comes to being out from under the blood of Christ, when it comes to being away from, departed from the Good Shepherd, if the right don't get you, the left one will. You don't have to be an alcoholic, drug addict, pedophile, you know, biker gang guy to go to hell. You just have to be out from under the blood, Coach.
Right, right. And so they're using these kids, especially the teenage girls and the little teeny bopper boys, to lure in the kids. They're after the kids, right? Because it's the battle, the seed of the serpent and the seed of the woman. They want to destroy the morals foundation of these young kids who are idolizing Hannah Montana, idolizing Britney Spears, Leo DiCaprio, idolizing these guys.
And looking at people like a little more current, people like Nicki Minaj, Kesha. Yeah. I mean, look, sorry, folks, but for those of you who are unaware, about 2.5 years ago, you know, Kesha, some people call her Kesha, did a campaign. I mean, she's a full-blown witch. She's admitted on national television that she has sex with incubi and succubi, with demons. Mm. Okay. She did a campaign where she had all of her listeners, her demographic at that time trended from age 7 to 12. So your 7 to 12-year-old daughter, folks. She did a thing where she asked them to send in their teeth, and she made a headdress out of about 300 or 400 children's teeth. She's also been noted as drinking her own urine on stage. So here's the deal. This is what needs to be understood here this morning is that, and by the way, folks, because we're on a compressed time schedule here, if you're interested in this stuff, please be careful. Ephesians 6 armor, get it on. Ephesians 6. 12 through 18, read up. I have a ton of content at this point up on YouTube, the Hagman Report, Caravan to Midnight, Josh Tolley. Most of those shows are very comprehensive. I've been blessed. Most of them are full of really mission critical information. Some are better than others, but go check that stuff out, because the key with our compressed time today is just to get you to understand this. That when it comes to Hollywood, I'm not telling you not to ever go to the movies or not to ever watch TV. Frankly, Coach, I think for most people that would be unrealistic. I might as well, you know, I'm learning in the Christian community that if you don't bring people along slowly and enable them to make their own connections and to form their own understanding about what the level of controlled conditioning being used against them is, and I don't care if that's coming from Hollywood, the Federal Reserve, or DC. If people don't make their own connections, we're just basically blah, 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 blah.
Because you know, John,
watch Netflix, you know?
It's interesting you would say that, because I was publicly beaten and drugged through the mud for saying we ought to take, what was the name of the, my brain went dead, the demonic book. What was the name? Harry Potter. I'm sorry. Okay. Take Harry Potter and use Harry Potter.
Yeah,
and use that as to train our children. Say, look, this stuff is real. This isn't just make believe. This casting of spells and demons, this stuff is real. Absolutely. Instead of Christians running from it, we should have taken our kids to those things and say, look, here's what's going on, and this is how they do it. And don't be ignorant of his devices. Correct. Instead. And so what did they do? They snuck up on their own, found the books and watched the movies.
Not only that, but they've been trained from a very young age to do exactly that. You know, I stayed with some family about 2 months ago, right outside of Portland, Oregon. And I have a 3.5-year-old niece who I love dearly. And my brother's her father. I love that part of my family dearly. But something I noticed is that there's all this kids content now on cable. You've got Hulu, Netflix, Amazon for kids. Okay. Folks, just peruse through what's in your kids' library. Most of it is about constructing this notion that the most amazing thing that a little kid can find is magic, whether it's the magic book, the magic beans, the magic potion, the magic dog, the magic dragon, the invisible friend, blah, blah, blah. It all, from 2 years old, 3 years old, it builds in your child's mind the notion that aside from being pretty enough and aside from being rich enough and thin enough and all the rest of it, that magic is cool. Well, we know that there really is no such thing as magic per se. You're either on Team Jesus or you're on the,
Amen.
You're rolling with the devil. And if you're on the fence, as Joe Hagman is fond of saying, if you're on the fence between those two camps, you will go the way you lean.
Amen. Mike, well, I see that you leaned in. Do you have something to say, brother? Hang on a second there, John.
I was born and raised in California, and my mother tried to get me into Hollywood. I've got all the pictures from what she just didn't have enough money to buy a representative, what do you call an agent. Mm-hmm. And this is something that's been going on for a long time. I know it.
Yes, Michael, it is. Again, as I said at the outset of the show here, it's important that people understand Hollywood is not a machine that somehow the Christian American lost control of. Hollywood was built from day one to be antithetical to the church. Now, I want to point out, I tried at least in as much as I can in a compressed period of time. I want to give people a little bit of hope in what they can do. I was going there a minute ago. People are going to watch movies. Okay. It's ridiculous. I think it's silly to tell people, you know what, instead of watching Netflix at night, I just want you to go home and pray. You're going to all of a sudden switch your habit from 5 hours of TV a night to just go into prayer. Get in your prayer closet, brother. And I'm telling you right now, in most of these conferences and so forth I go to, anybody that starts giving me that line, they better have some serious Holy Spirit juice emanating off them or I'm not going to believe them. Okay.
Right.
You're telling me that you just switched off Walking Dead so you can go pray for 5 hours a night? Trust me, you meet somebody who's really doing it, they're going to glow. Okay. So most of us, I would just suggest looking at films that edify. And always use this template, folks. This will help you with your spiritual discernment, what I like to call your discernment tachometer, okay? You stay out of the red zone by just looking at what you're watching and understand as you're watching some of these things that if the hero is, if she's putting all of her trust and she just knows she'll just meet the right guy and he's going to make everything all better, just make sure that you know while you're watching that film that that's not how it works, that the right guy's not going to make everything all better. Because, Coach, you and I both know, brother, that each of us have a missing puzzle piece. My shaped puzzle piece is different from Coach's, is different from Doug Hagman's, is different from whoever. It can only be filled by the spirit and the power of he who created us.
Amen. Amen.
The only one that understands the shape of the puzzle. So good luck, folks. You can fill it with Netflix. You can fill it with some drinking, yep, some whatever. And it's never going to happen.
And their job is to lead us away from the Lord and to anything else that they think might fill that void. That's their,
correct.
That's their entire job.
Let me
us away.
Let me tell you something dangerous, folks. The nicest lady on the block who bakes the chocolate chip cookies for Little League and has all the little girls over for sleepovers and makes her kids the best costumes on Halloween, she can be the nicest lady in the world. If she's not saved by Jesus Christ, she's going to hell. I didn't write the book, Coach. I'm just trying to live it.
She's a dangerous person to be around. Hey, John, we got about 6 or 7 minutes here. Let's just touch into this without really getting too deep
wherever
into
you
want
to go, brother.
This pedophile thing is real, John. I don't want to argue whether Pizzagate's real, rather that there is pedophilia running rampant in Hollywood, has been there for years. You've seen it close, upfront, personal. This is the real deal, isn't it, John?
Yeah, it is. And I'm glad, and Coach, we would be remiss if we didn't touch on that for a few minutes here this morning on Coach Dave Live. And folks, we cover this on Hagman Report all the time. More on that later. But anyhow, this is what happens, okay? You want to get these kids in a compromising position as soon as it's possible. Again, going back to the age of 12, and this happens a lot. Now, when I did that conference last weekend, I prefaced this by saying, you are now going to see a picture of who I regard to be a true American hero. And I put a picture of Corey Feldman, a promo shot from about 2 years ago up, okay? Corey wrote a book where he exposed pedophilia at the highest upper echelons of Hollywood. We're talking executive VPs of development, producers, mega power agents, and the international bankers that fund all this stuff. Okay. They throw parties. The parties become orgiastic. They ply these young kids with pharmaceuticals. And see, they don't necessarily try to get them drunk at 12 or 13. You just give them a few pills. And then what they do is they will capture on video these young kids in very compromising positions. And I'm not just talking orgiastic behavior. I'm talking about a multi-partner homosexual. It's hard to get this stuff in the right verbiage, but I'm talking bloodletting, animal dismemberment, and as we are now learning since the quote unquote Pizzagate story broke out of the WikiLeaks data dump of early November 2016, we're learning that there is this global pedogate issue. And folks, I got news for you. It goes all the way back to the sexual practices of the Babylonians. You wonder why kids are going from Toronto to Hollywood to Haiti to Mexico City? Because when God dispersed the Babylonians, they took two things with them, child sacrifice and what we call pedogate, pedophilia. So in Hollywood, they want you compromised at a young age because once they've got the goods on you on video, they own you. And that explains I'm not making allegations here, but that explains why a mega talent like Robin Williams would make something like Patch Adams. once they own you, they've got you. You'll do the scripts they say. You won't do the scripts they say not to do. You'll go here. You'll go there. You do this charity. You wear this brand of shoes. They even have a name for it. They call it the tenfold contract.
So Corey Feldman was a brave guy because he's the most prominent one who's come out and has tried to expose this.
Well, he's the most prominent, and he's also the most angry. His friend Corey Haim, the next slide I put up at the Awaken to the Shaken conference, was a promo shot from Goonies, the 1983 film. And there's four or five kids in the promo shot, and the two center are Corey Feldman and Corey Haim. They made a lot of movies together. Corey Haim's dead. You know why? Because as he tried to become a young man, he was hooked on drugs. The same drugs they used to get him in these homosexual compromising positions. And he couldn't take it. He couldn't live with himself. And ultimately the drugs killed him. But so Corey Feldman is standing up. He's standing out. We're working on getting him on Hagmann Report. But understand this. I don't care if it's Pizzagate in Western Washington, D.C. I don't care if it's Silsby down in Haiti getting caught with that van load of kids. Or if it's the X-Men director Bryan Singer with 500 naked underagers running around his swimming pool on a Friday night in the Hollywood Hills. It's all the same thing. And Coach, I would submit to you, sir, that it's all the same demonic spirits at work.
So, John, the truth of the matter is if you see, without painting with a broad brush, you see a young star in Hollywood, you can bet there's some connection to this in his kid's life.
Well, okay. And yes, it agreed to an extent. You can bet that there better be one seriously tough set of parents guarding that kid, and I mean literally guarding them, because I've seen this with my own eyes. Let's go back to that 12-year-old I was talking about earlier, tarted up, all the accolades in the world poured on her every day on set. At some point around age 12, just skating into age 13, you start to see the stage parents less and the entourage more. And that entourage, Coach, has in many cases handlers in it. So you've got the stylist, hair, makeup, wardrobe, the on-set teacher, and all of this coterie, who all have legitimate business titles, but within those can certainly be handlers that can direct these kids in the wrong direction. And the thing I want to say lastly is that the title of last week's presentation was Hollywood is a satanic death cult, and your kids are the victims. So let's just own it right now, folks. Your head's messed up. My head's messed up. We're all adults here, okay? We've got a lifetime full of garbage in our heads. Most of us are probably in some Holy Spirit sanctification process trying to purge some of this garbage, okay, the conditioning. But little kids now, especially in the world they're coming into with the political discourse, I mean, you know, you could argue that we're on the precipice of a massive economic implosion, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. We need to give them as many tools in the toolbox as possible.
Amen.
And remember this, parents, okay? When you sit your kid down in front of 5 hours of Disney a night, I'm sorry. If you don't like it, I'm sorry. But you're absconding your role as the priest of your home. Remember this. A little four-year-old boy is going to have just as good a time, if not better, out in the backyard with his dad goofing around swinging a stick at the bushes than he's going to watching this Luciferian satanic control, this conditioning, this construct that is designed to make your kids as unfamiliar with Jesus Christ as possible.
Okay, folks, so here we are. Let me ask you this. All of you out there that are watching us right now, John, it's been fascinating. You're the first guy I've had on that talks more than me. So congratulations on that one. But I've been kind
of warned you, man. I'm pumped up on Doug's coffee.
Yeah, I'm taking this whole thing in. I want people listen. Folks, I want you to think about this now. When's the last sermon you heard in your church about what you just heard here? When's the last sermon about the impacts and the effects of Hollywood and how Hollywood is designed to steal your children? Yeah, you can send your kids to Sunday school an hour a week and think that that's going to counterbalance all this other stuff that is bombarding your children. And so we've got to understand we're not to be ignorant of his devices, understand how the game is played, educate our children so they're able to defend themselves, and then they'll have a fighting chance to what's going on. John, God bless you, man. Thanks. Anything to send us off with here this morning, John? It's been fascinating. Where
Absolutely.
Can people find more information, John?
Well, first of all, HagmanReport.com. Thank you so much, Coach. Two ends on Hagman. HagmanReport.com. We curate news all day long, 24/7, 365, original content as well. Hagman Report, my last name, Robberson. Punch it into YouTube. You'll find all kinds of great content. And I just want to say this, Coach. We regard you as one of our brothers in arms on the front line. You know, folks, we were watchmen on the wall 2-3 years ago. Guys like Coach and I, we're not on the wall anymore, man. We strapped on the battle rattle. We saw the dust of the approaching army. We don't need to talk about it ad nauseum. It's time
That's right, brother. We know they're coming.
That's right. And I want to say this to your listeners. I'm going to punch out of here. First of all, fear and faith do not coexist. We all deal with fear. The only thing that can purge that from your heart and your mind is faith. The Lord hates a coward. And the bottom line is Hebrews 11:1. Faith is the substance of all things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Coach, thank you very much, sir.
Stay right there with us, John. Hey, folks, remember this, Revelation 28. The fearful and unbelieving, the cowards go first, baby. The cowards go first. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow. Stay with us there, John.